and the family's Einachama. And with that, let us begin. So the truth is, obviously this week Baruch Hashem is Parshas Emor. And Parshas Emor has many dramatic concepts, many dramatic mitzvos. And of course, what's most incredible about Parshas, not most incredible, one of the incredible things about Parshas Emor is that it contains the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. U'svartam lachem imacharas ha-shabos miyom aviyachem esomer ha-tenufa sheva shabosos timimos. The mitzvah of Sfira, the concept of the counting, the bridge, the connection between the Yom Tov of Pesach and the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And as I was preparing the drasha, I realized, but one second, tonight is Pesach Sheni. Now, I know that statement doesn't usually draw like an audible gasp, like, oh, it's Pesach Sheni. Had I only known, right? I would have worn my Pesach Sheni outfit. Or I would have made it. And I think it behooves us to spend a little bit of time this evening to focus the drasha tonight on the concept, on the power, and on the meaning of Pesach Sheni. What's Pesach Sheni? So remember again, the Torah Kedosha tells us, this is in a couple of weeks, we'll get to it, in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, in Parshas Baaloscha. So the Torah discusses the idea as follows. The Torah introduces an incredible story. There were a group of people who were tamei lenefesh, they were ritually impure. Now, why they were ritually impure, how they were ritually impure, some say these were the individuals who were carrying the remains of Yosef throughout the desert for burial in Eretz Yisrael. Others say that they became ritually impure. In other ways, whatever reason, they became ritually impure. You know what? I realize I'm sorry. They became ritually impure. So therefore, they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say the following. They were unable to offer up the Karban Pesach at the appropriate time. So they come to Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, "Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. We are ritually impure. We're tamei. Lama nigara? Why should we lose out? Levilti hikriv es karban Hashem ma'ado b'soch b'nei Yisrael." So these individuals come to Moshe Rabbeinu with a very simple plea. Why should we lose out on the opportunity to go ahead and bring the Karban Pesach? After all, again, it's not our fault that we became ritually impure, or even if it is our fault, we were involved hopefully in good things, taking care of the deceased, taking care of the remains. So why is it that we should lose out on bringing the Karban Pesach? So Vayomar Aleh Moshe, Imdu Ve'ashma'a Ma'yitzah Ve'asham Lachem. Moshe says, good kasha. I never heard this question before. No one ever asked me about this. So listen, let's do this. Stand here. Let me ask God about what we should do in this type of situation, and I will let you know. Vayidabra Hashem Moshe lemar, dabra b'nei Yisrael lemar, ish ish, ki yihye tamei lanefesh obederech rechoka, lochem olodoroseichem, va'asa pesach la'Hashem. And it is here in Parshas Baaloscha, on this night, that Moshe Rabbeinu, thousands upon thousands of years ago, gives over the laws of Pesach Sheni, the second Pesach, the makeup Pesach, that in the event that for some reason you were unable to bring the Karban Pesach at the appropriate time, on the 14th of Nisan, there's a makeup date. When's the makeup date? Tomorrow, right? You would bring your Paschal Lamb, you'd bring your Karban Pesach on the 14th of Iyar, what we call Pesach Sheni. And that's why this day of Pesach Sheni has a certain element of simcha. Some actually have the custom to save over some shmura matzah from Pesach and to be able to eat matzah on Pesach Sheni. Others don't have that custom for a variety of different reasons. But nevertheless, this Yom Tov, this day, has an element of Yom Tov, has an aspect, an identity of Yom Tov. It's a celebratory day. We already didn't say Tachanun today by Mincha. We don't say Tachanun tomorrow. There's an element of Yom Tov. But what's interesting to note is as follows. The group who came to Moshe Rabbeinu came with a very specific circumstance. They said to Moshe, "Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. We are ritually impure." So Moshe Rabbeinu says, "I'll find out what to do with you." And when the halacha comes back, the halacha says as follows. If someone is ritually impure, or b'derech rechoka. Derech rechoka means what? Far away. So it conjures up in our mind, if someone's too far from Jerusalem, someone's too far from Yerushalayim to come and to bring the Karban Pesach, so okay, don't worry, you go ahead and you have a makeup date a month later on the 14th of Iyar. But I'll share with you something amazing. There's a Mishnah Maseches Pesachim, and the Mishnah says, this is in Perek Tes Mishnah Beis, chapter 9, Mishnah 2. And the Mishnah says, "Ezu Derech Rechoka, tell me, What does it mean that you're too far away? Really, what the Mishnah is asking is, how far is too far? How far do you have to be called too out of town, to be able to go ahead and, let's say, be exempt from bringing the first Karban Pesach and be able to utilize the first day? So the first opinion says, Mina modi'im v'lachut u'kimidas l'chorach. So this is actually very interesting. So those of us who have had the privilege to be in Eretz Yisrael, there's a city called Modi'in. I don't know if contemporary Modi'in is the same as Mishneiach Modi'in. But again, you know, Modi'in from Yerushalayim is a good car trip, right? Probably a little bit under an hour to get to Modi'in. So that's, the Gemara says, if you're far enough out of Yerushalayim, Modi'in, from Modi'in and on, and you, so Yerushalayim is too far from you, and you couldn't get to Yerushalayim in time on the 14th of Nisan, on Erev Pesach, to offer up your Korban Pesach, don't worry, you have the makeup date. You have the makeup date. You can go ahead and you can bring your Korban Pesach tonight, well, tomorrow. Pesach Sheni, the 14th of Iyar. But listen to this. Comes along Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva says, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, that was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Misikufas Ha'azara V'lachutz. Listen to this idea. So Rabbi Akiva says, what's far? Far is if you're from Modi'in and out. So any Modi'in and further out of Yerushalayim, that's called Derech Rechoka, that's called too far, and so therefore if you are unable to get to Yerushalayim in time to offer up the Korban Pesach on the 14th of Nisan on Erev Pesach, it's okay, you have Pesach Sheni, you have the makeup date. Comes on Rabbi Eliezer and he says, no, Derech Rechoka could even mean what? Mi'isikufas ha'azara v'lachutz. Now understand what these words mean. Look at the Bar Tanura. I want to read you the words of the Bar Tanura. Afilu haya karov Yerushalayim. Even if a person was standing right outside of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash on Erev Pesach, on the 14th of Nisan, but for some reason they just couldn't make it inside, that's also called Derech Rechoka. That's also called far away. So if you couldn't go ahead and make it into the Beis HaMikdash, even though, again, you were literally steps away, that's called Derech Rechoka, and you could avail yourself of the makeup date of Pesach Sheni. And the question is obvious. I understand the position of Rabbi Akiva. I understand Mina Modi'in V'lachutz, right? I understand, again, that's a good distance. You're that far away from Yerushalayim. I understand that ultimately, again, you might not be able to make it to Yerushalayim. But can you imagine this scene of an individual who is steps away from the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, which means he's in Yerushalayim. Not only is he in Yerushalayim, he's on the Har HaBayis, he's on the Temple Mount. Not only is he on the Temple Mount, he is literally steps away from the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. And yet for some reason, he couldn't make it in. For some reason, he couldn't make it in. So Rabbi Eliezer says, even such an individual like that is called, he was far away. And because he was far away, he has the opportunity to go ahead and use Pesach Sheni as the makeup date. And the question, of course, is obvious. What does that mean? That this guy, we'll call him Reuven, right? Reuven is in the Har HaBayis, steps away from the Beis HaMikdash, steps away from entering in. And that's too far? He made it this far. He can't push himself an extra few steps just to get inside and go ahead and offer up the Korban Pesach? That we call him B'derech Rechoka. We call him far away, and we give him Pesach Sheni, doesn't seem to make sense. So the Bar Tanura says, well, maybe he was sick. Maybe he was really sick, and although he made it all to Yerushalayim, all the way to the Har HaBayis, just steps away from the Beis HaMikdash, he just got so sick that he couldn't walk in. Okay, certainly possible. But it feels like there's something deeper that's being expressed over here. What happened with this individual that he made it so far? Remember again, this guy could have been coming all the way from the north or all the way from the south, from one of the extremity parts of Eretz Yisrael, and he's made the trip, and he brought his mishpacha, and he spent the money, and literally he steps away from the Beis HaMikdash, but something happens that he just can't walk in. So not only can he not walk in, but we give him Pesach Sheni. So what's the pshat? So it's interesting to note that one of the fundamental differences between what we call Pesach and Pesach Sheni, right? We'll call real Pesach and makeup Pesach, right? Pesach Rishon, Pesach Sheni, is the Gemara in Maseches Psochim says, Shehari bePesach Sheni, Chometz Imo Babayis, Ve'eno Zokuk Lebir. So the Gemara says, this is actually quite fascinating. Pesach Sheni, you don't have to get rid of your chametz. Pesach Rishon, we all know regular Pesach, you have to get rid of your chametz. Pesach Sheni, you don't have to get rid of your chametz. Pesach Sheni, you could have chametz in the home and still be offering up the Karban Pesach. Obviously, you can eat the Karban Pesach. You're going to eat matzah, but you don't have to get rid of your chametz. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, looks at this, and he wonders, what's the pshat? If Pesach Sheni is really a makeup for Pesach Rishon, then why would I not be obligated to get rid of the chametz in my home? And listen to the words of the Rebbe. This is really incredible. I'm going to read to you just one short paragraph. The Rebbe writes, HaChametz miyatzeg es hara. So we all know this. Chametz, of course, again, you find this in Kabbalistic literature. Even the Gemara talks about it already, which is chametz represents that which is negative inside man. Right? Just like the chametz, just like that which is chametz rises up. So the chametz represents the tzahara, the evil inclination, the lust, the desires, all the things in life that derail us. It represents the things that are broken inside of us. That's chametz. So therefore, again, says the Rebbe, Bepesach Rishon yesh isr chametz, tzarech lahavir eshara legamrei, v'asur sheyishar afilu shemetz mimenu. So what's the halacha by Pesach? What do you have to do on Pesach? You have to get rid of your chametz. And which chametz? Which chametz? All of your chametz. You must purge all of your chametz on Pesach. Because Pesach is a Yom Tov of rebirth. Pesach is a Yom Tov of renaissance, of rejuvenation. I'm being given an opportunity to remake myself. But if I'm going to remake myself, I have to get rid of all the stuff that's broken. I have to get rid of all the baggage. I have to get rid of all the negativity. Because if I just schlep that along with me as I leave Mitzrayim, as I leave this compromised state, then I don't have the ability to start over. You know, the reason why so many of us can't start over is because we just don't let go of our baggage. We're always traveling with our baggage wherever we go. So therefore comes Pesach. You want a new start. You want a new beginning. You have to get rid of your chametz. Chametz. And how much of your chametz? Mamish, even the crumbs. Even the crumbs. To the last little bit of chametz, you got to purge it from your home. You have to purge it from it. You have to get rid of the evil. You have to get rid of the negativity. You have to get rid of that which is broken. But listen to what the Rebbe says. Ki b'shlav harishon, e afshar lehismodit im hara l'takno, ela tzarech livroach mimenu, ola archiko l'gamrei. Because in life, when you're trying to remake yourself, the first step is you got to get rid of your chametz. You have to identify the negative things inside of yourself. You have to identify the things that are broken, the things that are in a state of disrepair. You have to identify the things that are just not good. And you have to purge. You have to get rid of them. This the Rebbe quotes the pasuk from Tehillim of Sur Meira V'Yaseh Tov. Sur Meira means that in order to grow in life, you have to first get rid of the negativity. It's hard to really make positive movement and gain positive momentum if I'm still holding on to all the negative stuff. Remember, again, Chazal have a term for this. They call this Tovel V'Sheretz Biyado, where a person goes to the mikvah, but he's holding on to a rodent. So let's say I'm ritually impure. I want to go to the mikvah. So I'm dunking up, down, up, down, up, down, davening, brachas, everything. Only one problem, I'm holding a dead mouse in my hand, not to get too graphic, right? So again, you can go up and down 50 times, doesn't make a difference. If the source of impurity is in your hand, the tefillah, the immersion, does not work. So says the Rebbe something amazing. Pesach comes along, and Pesach offers us a new opportunity to start over, to begin again, a new chapter of life. So what's the first step in this new chapter? Sur Meira, get rid of the chametz. Because if you don't get rid of your chametz, if you don't get rid of your baggage, if you don't get rid of your negativity, it's impossible to move forward. But watch this, he goes on. Ach, that's Pesach Rishon. But says there was something amazing. Ach, b'shlav hasheni, kvar yesh efsharos letakin eshara. But comes Pesach Sheni, something amazing happens. You don't have to get rid of your chametz. You can keep your chametz. How could I keep my chametz? Isn't that going to hold me back? So the Rebbe says, Yesh efsharos letakin eshara. Comes Pesach Sheni, I have the ability to fix that which is broken. See, before we explain it, listen to his words. Pesach Rishon, on the first Pesach, I have to get rid of the chametz. I have to identify that which is broken, and I got to get rid of it. I have to identify that which holds me back, and I need to let go of it. I have to identify that which is impure and not good in me, and I have to purge it. I have to get rid of it. Pesach Sheni comes, and you're allowed to keep your chametz in the home. Because says the Rebbe something amazing. Pesach Sheni comes, and we find the ability to fix our chametz. Pesach Rishon, you have to get rid of your chametz. Pesach Sheni, second Pesach, tonight, I don't have to throw out my chametz. I can fix my chametz. Ach, b'shlav ha'sheni, kvar yesh efshor z'takin ha'sara, le'zochecho, to purify the chametz, le'kadsho, to sanctify the chametz, v'lochein, chametz u'matzo, imo babayis. Therefore, ultimately, again, Pesach Sheni comes, and chametz and matzah with him in the house. So before we explain what the Rebbe is saying, you could begin now to appreciate a little bit what was happening in the Mishnah. You remember the Mishnah describes this guy, we'll call him Reuven. Reuven comes, it's Pesach, it's the 14th of Nisan. He's coming with his little lamb, he's coming with his family, he's made it to Yerushalayim, made it to the Har HaBayis. He's steps away from the Beis HaMikdash, he steps away from the courtyard, and yet for some reason, he doesn't go in. Why? Because perhaps what Reuven is going through in that moment is a very profound, overwhelming moment. Reuven understands that the celebration of Pesach requires the removal of personalistic chametz. There's beer chametz on Pesach. You have to get rid of the chametz. You have to burn the chametz. You have to destroy the chametz. And so Reuven is standing steps away from the Beis HaMikdash and he realizes something very profound. I can't do it. I think I'm just too broken. I think there's just too much chametz. I think there's just too much that's in a state of disrepair. I think there's just too much that's in such a spiritually unkempt state that I can't do it. He's mamish steps away from the Beis HaMikdash. But when he looks inside and he sees all of his chametz, he feels overwhelmed by all that is broken. And so what does he do? He turns around and he goes back home. I, Reuven, you're just two steps away. You know, my friends, derech rechoka, being far away, could sometimes mean a person is geographically far away, and sometimes a person is spiritually, emotionally far away. How many times in relationships you could have two people sitting in the same room, there's geographic proximity, but they are emotionally far apart from one another. Emotionally estranged, even though there's geographic proximity. Reuven comes to the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. He steps away with his karbes from entering into the temple. He looks inside, he introspects, and he realizes in that moment, I am so far. I'm bederech rechoka. I have so much chametz in me, and there is no possible way I could purge the chametz. There's no possible way I could fix all that is broken. There's no possible way that I could clean my internal house. Impossible. So unfortunately, what does Reuven do? He turns around and he goes back home. That's the Mishnah's example. That's Rabbi Elazar's example. You could have a guy who is steps away from the Beis HaMikdash, yet he's bederech rechoka, because he feels so far from God, because he doesn't believe that he could do anything about his chametz. But then comes Pesach Sheni, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us something amazing. The halacha by Pesach Sheni is, chametz imo babayis. Right? Pesach Sheni, you don't have to get rid of your chametz. Pesach Sheni, you could keep the chametz in the home. And perhaps, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to teach us was as follows. We sometimes think that our chametz holds us back. But in reality, it's our chametz who makes us who we really are. One more time. We sometimes think that it's our chametz that holds us back. But it's our chametz that really makes us who we are. What do I mean by this? You know, the Ari HaKadosh writes that the million-dollar question we often ask ourselves is, why am I here? I don't mean like, why are you with me right now? I'm happy you're all with me. I mean like, why am I here in the world? right? Like the Ramchal says, Machal Vasa Ba'olama, what am I doing here? Like, what is my tachlis? What is my purpose? And of course, there's no one answer for every person, but the Ari HaKadosh says something amazing. He says that all of us, most of us struggle with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 particular things. Right? And those are things that I've been struggling with for my whole life, right? The truth is, when I introspect and I look inside myself and I try to see what my challenges are, the overwhelming reality is the challenges I have today, at their core, are the same challenges I had 5 years ago, the same challenges I had probably 10 years ago, and probably the same challenges I had 20 years ago. The core challenges that we struggle with in life are the same ones throughout life. They manifest differently at different times. So the Arizal says something amazing. Do you know why I'm here in this world? I'm here to correct the thing that I struggle with most. The very thing that is hardest for me, that is what I am here to correct and to address. The Ari gets a bit more esoteric. He says, it's possible that I'm a Gilgal. Maybe I was here in this world before and I wasn't able to rectify something. And so I'm back in this world again to rectify that very thing. So the thing, listen to these words, the thing you struggle with most is the very reason for your existence. So we often look at chametz, the things that are broken, the challenges we have, as the things that hold us back. But in reality, what the Rebbe is saying is that it's chametz that is actually provides for us the platform for growth. Because your chametz are the things that you struggle with. The chametz are the things that ultimately, again, you constantly do battle with. The chametz are the things that throughout life often get the best of you. But now I know exactly what I have to do. I know what my mission in this world is. I know what my job in life is. My job in life is to conquer the things that give me the greatest amount of adversity. My job in life is to contend with the very things that I've been struggling with day in and day out. You know, we sometimes think that, like, maybe my tachlis in life is to discover a cure for cancer, a cure for coronavirus, to build a business empire, to raise a mishpacha. Those are all wonderful things. We should be zocha to all of those things. But you have a very simple life mission. You are here to somehow overcome the thing you struggle with most. And again, there's good news and bad news. The good news is we're all capable of doing it. The bad news is once you finish with that struggle, there's usually something else that you struggle with afterwards. But that's the avoda of a Jew in this world. We all struggle with that one thing, or multiple things. That's your chametz. But it's not that your chametz holds you back. Fakir, just the opposite. It's your chametz ultimately, again, who makes you who you are. It's your chametz that tells you what the purpose of your life is, what the challenge you have to rise to meet is. It's the chametz that offers you the opportunity to grow and to become ultimately the best version of yourself without challenge in life. You see, we often live with a very skewed understanding that we think the goal of life is tranquility. That's the goal. Right? The goal is tranquility, and I'm constantly working towards tranquility. My dear friends, if your goal in life is tranquility, I feel so sad for you. Number one, because you'll never reach it. You'll never reach it. And number two, even if you do reach it, I feel even worse for you. Because a person who reaches a level of tranquility means they've stopped struggling. They've stopped trying. They've stopped pushing. So here's the amazing thing. Our guy Reuven, who made it up to the gateway of the Beis HaMikdash, was just steps away. So what happens? He turns back. Why does he turn back? Because he introspects, to his credit. He looks inside. He sees that there's so much chametz that's accumulated throughout the years. And so what does he do? He turns and says, I can't do it. I can't get rid of the chametz. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Reuven, turn back around and go back to Yerushalayim. Why? Right? We give him a month. And by the way, you don't have to get rid of your chametz, because I think you misunderstood the role of chametz. Yes, there are certain times in life that you have to purge. There are certain times in life that you have to get rid of the stuff that holds you back. But more often than not in life, identify your chametz. Identify your challenges. Identify your shortcomings. And ultimately understand that those are the very things that give you meaning. Those challenges and your ability to overcome them, or at least your ability to contend with them, that's why I'm here in this world. Do we think that we're here to relax? Do we think, we know, Adam la'amol yulad, man was put in this world to toil. Toil with what? Each of us are born, again, with that chametz inside of us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, your avodah in this world is figure out a way to deal and to grow from your chametz. How do you grow from your chametz? When ultimately, at the end of the day, well, before I get to that, so now something amazing happens. So now we understand Reuven. So Reuven, who was at the Beis HaMikdash by Pesach Rishon, turns around because he thinks he simply cannot deal with his chametz. Comes Pesach Sheni, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, go back. And this time, Reuven, you don't have to get rid of your chametz, because your chametz could actually be the very source, the very catalyst for your growth. But what changes in Reuven between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? So if you look at, well, you don't have it, but I'll read it to you. So the Psukim, because remember, the same Reuven who couldn't find the courage to enter into the Beis HaMikdash in Pesach Rishon, now finds the courage to do so on Pesach Sheni. What changed? So I want to show you something amazing. In the Psukim that I just quoted to you before, from Parshas Balosra, it's Bamidbar Perek Tes, Psukim Vav through Tes. That's the story of the individuals who come to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, listen, you need to help us out. We're Tamei, we didn't get to observe Pesach. So if you notice, the Lashon is absolutely incredible. So they come to Moshe Rabbeinu, right? The Torah first sets up the story. The story is, there were people who were Tameim Lanefesh. There were people, ultimately, again, who are ritually impure. They come to Moshe, and look what they say. Vayomru ha'anoshim ha'heima elav, anachnu temeim lenefesh adam. They come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say, we're Tamei. But the truth is, if you look at their words in a very profound sense, perhaps what they were saying was something different. Vayomru ha'anoshim ha'heima elav, the people say to Moshe, anachnu temeim lenefesh adam. The reason we weren't able to do Pesach Rishon is because we were like that guy who got up to the gates of Yerushalayim, they got up to the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, and just felt fundamentally unworthy to be able to enter in and to be able to connect. Because we looked inside and we saw how broken we are. We looked inside and we saw how much chametz has accumulated throughout the years. We looked inside and we saw what a spiritually compromised state we were in. And they said to Moshe, anachnu Timeim lenefesh adam. Remember, that adam word is actually, I could have said anachnu timeim lenefesh. We're ritually imperfect from contact with a corpse. But perhaps it seems something so much more profound. Anachnu timeim lenefesh adam. Our nefesh is sullied. Our nefesh is impure. My soul is broken. There's so much debris of negativity that's accumulated on my heart through all of this time. So Moshe, we had the opportunity to do Pesach Rishon, but we just couldn't bring ourselves to go in. We couldn't bring ourselves to enter into the Mikdash to come close to God because we introspected, we saw all the chametz, and we saw how broken we are. And how can we come before God in such a state of broken kite? How can we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in such an incredible compromised state? Yet they say, Lamanigara. But why should we lose out? So something amazing occurs over here. What were these people doing with Moshe Rabbeinu? They personified the midah of emes. You see, how do you transform your chametz from baggage, into the very engine and fuel for life growth? Where does that change come from? And that change comes in one simple way, emes. To be truthful with one's self. You see, the reality is that more often than not, when we come in contact or we encounter our deficiencies and shortcomings, it's much easier to just explain them away, right? Whether we say the expectations are too high, or that's not really what God wants, or does it really matter to God, or that person had it coming, whatever the excuses we make. And so when you make excuses about your chametz, that's when it becomes baggage that weighs you down. And it becomes so heavy that mamish, you can't move. And not only can you not move, but the baggage suffocates you. But the moment you bring the midah of emes, of truth, to your chametz, and you say, you know what? I have deficiencies, and I have problems, and I have challenges, and I have shortcomings. And by the way, here they are. How do you want them, God? You want it alphabetical order, right? Worst to best, best to worst, chronological. How do you want it? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, here it is. Here it is. I'm going to stop making excuses for myself. I'm going to stop explaining it away. And we're so creative. We're so creative with all of our different averus, right? How many times we do something and I know that it's wrong. But again, the best one, I just have a different hashkafa. Okay, I never heard of that hashkafa. That's an interesting one. I thought there was like just a Shulchan Aruch and not a Shulchan Aruch. No, I hold a different hashkafa. Okay, I'd love to see a Shulchan Aruch of your hashkafa. Or you know what? That's not really necessary. Again, some of the most creative lines, I know them because I use them. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about myself to you. I know all the lines because I use them, Baruch Hashem, very well for myself personally. We have the greatest excuses. And when you try to make excuses for your chametz, trying to make excuses, you know what it's like? You ever go to the airport? You ever go to the airport? And you used to see this a lot, you know, especially like international travel. You go to Eretz Yisrael. So if you go, especially like if you fly a lot or something, you're always going to see the same scene. The person in front of you comes on because they weigh the carry-ons also, right? Or the baggage. And they put the carry-on on the scale and it's like 175 pounds, right? And the flight attendant says, you know, sir, it can only be like 50 kilograms. And like there's like this expression of shock. Oh, I can't believe. I was so surprised. I didn't realize it was so heavy. Meanwhile, like they're schwitzing through multiple layers of clothing, schlepping around this carry-on. And then what happens? There's that scramble. They open up the carry-on and you see people do two different things. Some people just try to compress stuff as if somehow, if you keep pushing stuff down in the same bag, it somehow gets lighter, right? Somehow, again, the laws of matter somehow change if you keep compressing on it. And they do it over and over and over. And okay, everybody behind them tries to have needles and everything. And there are some people who are, you know what? Just too heavy. It's just too heavy. Let me get out, repack it somewhere else. That's what chametz is. You see, if I don't own my chametz, if I don't acknowledge my chametz, if I'm not honest about my chametz, if I don't bring the need of MS to my chametz, to my state of disrepair in life, then I'm always schlepping it around and it's always overweight and it's always too difficult. And I try to push it down. Not so heavy. But it's always going to be the same weight. Masha Inkein, if you say, you know what? Sorry, person working at the flight counter. It's too heavy. You're right. I'm not going to make excuses. I tried to get a heavy bag on the plane. Not going to work. Let me open it up. Let me take out the stuff. Let me see what I really need, what I don't need, what's too heavy, what could get by. When you bring the meat of emes, when you acknowledge your chametz, then suddenly the chametz inside is not just simply the negativity that you schlep around. But now suddenly you recognize what your challenges are. And the moment that you begin to recognize your challenges is the moment that you could direct your energy to meeting those challenges. And the moment that you're able to meet and ultimately overcome those challenges, that's the moment where you give meaning to life. Where not only is your chametz not something that doesn't hold you back, but your chametz is actually something that gives your life dramatic meaning. Everything in life depends on how you deal with your chametz. How do you deal with your own personal shortcomings, flaws, and negativity which resides within? Do you try to explain it away? In which case you schlep it around forever and it just gets heavier and heavier? Or do you bring the meat of MS? Number one, own it. Own it. I have shortcomings and here they are. I articulate what your shortcomings are. You don't have to do that to anyone else. You could do it just between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Articulate it. My shortcoming is this, 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 and this. These are my shortcomings. And I've had the same shortcomings for who knows how long. Or maybe they're new shortcomings. Articulate them. Daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. to help you, to give you the strength to overcome your chametz, to overcome ultimately your shortcomings, and then recognize that it's your chametz that provides you the ultimate platform for personalistic life growth. Not only is your chametz not a detriment, but your chametz becomes the very key to your life success. Because my dear friends, we might be here for a variety of different reasons, but one thing is for sure. Each of us are in this world to overcome our internal challenges. That is our avodah. We might have other responsibilities or other things to accomplish in addition to that, but that is our primary avodah. And listen to how the psukim end. So remember again, these people come to Moshe. They say to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Anachnu tameim l'nefesh adam. We're so broken. We're so tzibrachin. We couldn't do the first Pesach. We're here. What should we do?" And listen to what Moshe says. God says to Moshe, "Dabra b'nei Yisrael lemar, ish ish ki yetamei l'nefesh." HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore says, here's the halacha of Pesach Sheni. Whenever you are tamei l'nefesh, if you really feel that you are so broken, you really feel that you have so much chametz, or you feel so far away, you're derech rechoka, lachem ol doroseichem, v'asa Pesach l'Hashem. What is asa Pesach l'Hashem? Pesach, remember, Pesach means to skip over. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, V'asa Pesach l'Hashem. You can do a Pesach. You can move from where you are to somewhere else. You see, sometimes we think that because of our chametz, we are simply anchored where we are. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, I promise you, as long as you own it, acknowledge it, pray to me for help to overcome it, and then exhibit proper life strength and resolve to meet the challenges, overcome the challenges, address your shortcomings. V'asa Pesach l'Hashem. You will be able to skip over, to jump over your present circumstances. And I promise, you will find your way to me. This, my dear friends, is the power of Pesach Sheni. A day that I think for most of us, the best part of it is that we don't say Tachanun. Now we see what a power there is to this day. Pesach Sheni, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, is to a certain degree, I know it's going to sound strange, it's even stronger than Pesach Rishon. Because by the first Pesach, you have to get rid of your chametz. Pesach Sheni says, you don't have to get rid of it. You just have to own it, acknowledge it, extend your hand to God to help you overcome it. Roll up your sleeves and do the hard work and use your chametz, use your deficiencies, use your shortcomings to give you the knowledge as to why you're here in the world. And then when you address them, ultimately again, your chametz becomes the very platform, the very catalyst for dynamic life growth. And if you do that, v'asa Pesach l'Hashem, you will be able to skip over, to jump over your present circumstances now, and be able to find your way back to a beautiful and meaningful connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This, my dear friends, is the power of Pesach Sheni. So may we be Zochem Yertz Hashem over the course of this day. And Pesach Sheni this year has an extra added dimension of Kiddusha because it's also Erev Shabbos, which always is an incredible day filled with such potential. But let's make sure to take a couple of minutes sometime over Pesach Sheni. Maybe it's tonight when things are a little bit quieter, or tomorrow when things are a little less quieter, but to be able to go into a quiet place, if not in your home, in your mind, and just ask myself, what is my chametz? What is my chametz? What are the challenges I have? What are the deficiencies I have? You don't have to confess it to anyone else. You don't have to share it with anyone else. But Pesach Sheni offers us the opportunity to be honest with ourselves. And if we're honest with ourselves, then all of those things which have held us back for so long could become the very instruments for our growth, for our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and for our ability to experience a beautiful Pesach, a beautiful ability to jump past where we are now into some magnificent, beautiful, and holy future. So I wish all of you a beautiful Pesach Sheni, and a guten Erev Shabbos, a wonderful evening. Thank you to Jeremy and Tamayishi for always coordinating all of the logistics to make this year possible. Wish all of you a wonderful evening and a good Shabbos. Thank you for joining us.